Good morning. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 to 19. 1 Peter chapter 1, 17 to 19. If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you are not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile will of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. We pray, God, as we come to you, that you speak, Lord, and give us open ears and open hearts to receive your word today. As we pray, as we worship, God, may the words that come out of our mouth, Lord, flow from deep within our spirits, God, and that we just pour out our worship before you, God, for you are worthy. So we thank you. We pray these things in your Son's most precious name. Amen. Okay. So, what is the most valuable possession that you own? And I'm talking actual possessions, so you can put aside family. You don't have to say, oh, the most precious thing in my life is my family, because we all know that's true, and it's kind of corny and cheesy. I'm kidding. It's not. But what is the most precious thing that you would own? And think about it. Is it some sort of sports equipment? Basketball shoes? I don't think there's any sneaker heads here, are there? Maybe Jackie. He's got a lot of shoes. For me, it's my knives. So I have a set of knives that I got two Christmases ago, kitchen knives, and they're pretty basic, but they're really nice. And I've been wanting these kitchen knives for a long time, because before I just had like these really regular knives that we put them in the cupboard or in the drawer, and they get all dinged up and scratched up because of the way we store them. So I treat my knives with a lot of care. I even bought a special magnetic knife block, so I can just put the knife on the block and I won't have to put it in the drawer where it'll get all dinged up, and it makes it look really nice on display. And I look at him like, oh, I'm really happy and glad about my knives. I get happy just thinking about it right now. I know it's stupid, but if you like cooking, you understand the value of a really good knife. But about, I think it was like a month or two after getting my knives, because I take a lot of care with them. So after I use it, I wash it right away, even before I wash anything else, and I dry it, and I put it back in the chopping block or on the knife block, just to make sure that it doesn't get chipped. So I was washing my slicer, and it's a smaller knife, and after I washed it, I was trying to fling the water off. And as I was doing that, and mind you, these knives are new. As I was doing that, I hit the sink. And I'm like, ooh. And I looked, and there's this noticeable chip on the knife. I'm like, oh my gosh. And I was so choked up about that. And Cora came running in. I was like, what happened? What happened? I'm like, I chipped my knife. And she's like, what? Don't bother me with these things. Clearly, she doesn't spend a lot of time in the kitchen. Hallmark of a modern woman. I'm joking, joking, joking. It's okay. Guys, you should spend a lot more time in the kitchen too. All right. What am I talking about here? So Peter is reminding his audience of the great value that God places on them in this passage. And he's, in some ways, as I was reading this, I'm reminded that, you know, God is not this micromanaging, nitpicking boss that calls you and asks you to go over something with him, and he points out everything. He's like, hey, why don't you fix this? Why don't you fix that? You know, he's like, why don't you just take it and fix it yourself, since you already know? He's not this kind of boss, and he's not looking for opportunities to punish you. And you know, this is something that we teach quite a bit of at SP, you know, the Father heart of God, that he loves you, and he places great value, and he cares for you. And this is all encapsulated in who God is. This is all part of his character. This comes across very apparently in verse 18, 19, knowing that you are not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. See, Peter is saying that we have not been redeemed by, you know, in our mind and in our society, you know, gold and silver still does play an important role. I mean, I don't know if any currency is still backed by gold, U.S. dollar, but they're still valuable. People still value gold. I don't know what the current price of gold is, but apparently it's astronomical. Bitcoin, anybody? But for God, these things, gold and silver, he says, they're perishable. They are, in the Greek, the word perishable actually means corruptible. So they are of some use, but at the end of the day, they really aren't. It doesn't serve God any good because it's corruptible. And as we know, God is not corruptible. And for us, what this means is that gold and silver, as Peter writes, is not worthy to be used to rescue us or to redeem us or to buy us from the bondage of sin. It can't be used. It's not, you know, all the gold and silver in the world is not sufficient enough to rescue us or to buy us or to purchase us. Put it in this way, within a bartering economy, you know, we no longer have a bartering economy. We have a currency, where it's a medium of exchange. But in a bartering currency, before they had money, or before money was used as a means of exchanging goods or services, they would literally exchange goods and services for other goods and services. Like the farmer would go to the tanner and be like, I'll give you this cow, and if you, I'll give you some of the meat, but you can take the skin of the cow and produce me some sort of leather good. You know, that would happen in a bartering economy. And so if you were in a bartering economy, we would have to go, go back in time many, many years. But gold and silver would not necessarily have any value in a bartering economy, because what can you do with gold and silver at the end of the day? It looks nice. It's shiny. Sounds like a diamond, doesn't it? Oh. But gold and silver will be absolutely worthless in that kind of system. Like if you're walking, another illustration is if you're walking in Hong Kong, or if I was walking in Hong Kong and I just all of a sudden pulled out Canadian dollars to use at a fishbowl stand, they'd be like, Meliga, right? What is this? You can't use that. And I think that's kind of the point that I wanted to draw. Like the gold and silver is not enough to take us from our lives of sin. And God recognized that. And what was needed in order to redeem us was something imperishable, incorruptible. And this is who Jesus was. In Psalm 16:10, it says, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You will not be corrupted. You are perfect. And Jesus was that spotless lamb, unblemished, that was able to redeem us. Now, we all know this fact, right? We all know this amazing, amazing fact. And sometimes we kind of pass by it, but we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. That he was unblemished, spotless, invaluable. You cannot measure his value. But this was what was used to redeem us. This was what was used to pay for our sins, to bring us out of our bondage, to, you know, pay for our goods. And so let that sink in for a sec, that God used such something that was so valuable to redeem us. We were bought at an incredible cost. Right. Now, let's shift our focus and turn away from Jesus and turn to us. Don't worry, it's not going to be heretical. But consider this, okay? We have been bought with immeasurable cost, right? And, you know, we should worship, right? And this brings out the worship in us, like, oh God, you are amazing that you have redeemed us, that you have used something so precious and valuable to us, or to you, to bring us out of death, to give us life, that you gave up something that was so, you sacrificed something that was so valuable to you, right? But let's see how this plays out for us. And I have two points for us today. Okay. One, knowing that we are bought at such a great cost, that should mean that there or not there, we are of great value. That there is some sort of inherent value that is more than gold or silver, that is more than any kind of currency, any amount of Bitcoin could ever buy. Right? We are, there is this immeasurable value to us. The reality of Jesus' sacrifice, while you know it is for us, it's not, or the reality of sacrifice doesn't tell us, or does tell us that we are of immense value. And knowing that we are so precious, right? Knowing that God places so much value on us, why is it so easy for us sometimes to treat ourselves like garbage? You say, I'm not worth it, or I don't deserve this kind of stuff. And I mean, I say it now, and it seems like, I mean, I don't think I treat myself like garbage. I don't think I treat myself unworthy, but these things come up very subtly in how we think about ourselves, how we allow ourselves to be loved, how we, even think about jobs. Like, I don't know if I could ever get that job because I'm not qualified, or that for whatever reason. But this attitude of ours where we don't treat ourselves according to the value that God gives us, it comes up very subtly. I was talking to someone recently, and I was trying to show them, you know, in their life how much people care for them. And this person, they recognized that people were caring for them, and that the people around them were showing them love and care. But it was very difficult for this person to accept that love. And it's all like, they weren't saying like, no, they don't care about me. It's like, I recognize that they care about me, but why? Right? And this person, they didn't play it off, but what they said in response to this is like, you know, I'm just more of a private person, and it takes me time to open up. I'm like, that's fine. You know, everyone wants to protect themselves, and I get that. But I think you're using this thing of protection, or like, I don't want to open myself up because they might hurt me, as a front, because I think deep down was that they had a very difficult time in understanding why people will go to lengths to care for them, because they didn't feel like that they could accept this love, that they were worthy of being cared for. Like, well, why would this person care for me? I'm like, well, why does it matter? Why are you questioning them? Just why can't you accept it? If someone gives you a free meal, you're like, oh, awesome, right? Well, I mean, we can do that. But when someone, you know, tries to spend a lot of time with you, cares about you, prays for you, like, we're a little bit suspicious. Or this person was a little bit suspicious. And, yeah, so as I was talking to this person, the question in my mind that came up for them was, like, why is it so easy for this person to deem themselves unworthy of the love that is shown to them by the brothers and sisters around them? And this is the command of Christ, right? Well, because Jesus asks us to. God doesn't call us to this monastic or ascetic movement where we deny our... How do I put this in the right way? We do need to deny ourselves, because Jesus does call us to deny ourselves, to lay down our lives, to, you know, no one can be his disciples if we don't, you know, hate our mother or brother or families. You know, that passage in Luke where he's calling us to discipleship. We do need to deny ourselves, and we do need to recognize the sacrifice that comes. But at the same time, God also created this world, and he deemed it good. So there are things that he wants us to have as well. So it's not like we should tell ourselves, oh, I can't, you know, have this thing because I need to deny myself. No, I need to cloister myself up, isolate myself from the world because, you know, I just need to focus on God. Like, God wants you to be in this world, right? While at the same time, there's things that we need to deny ourselves of, while we need to sacrifice, like, even possibly good things. He has created good things for us to enjoy. He created the world for us to enjoy, to live in. He has blessed us with many things. And so the things he's blessed us with, and I would ask, why do we deny ourselves these blessings? And when he offers care or when he offers these blessings, he's not testing us to see how pure or righteous we are. In Colossians 2:20-23, I'll just turn there. If you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with use, in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men? These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom and self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. See, this form of self-denial where we can't accept the blessings of God, or will we treat ourselves like garbage, isn't something that God has called you to do. He's saying, like, these things, this form of self-denial, this where you cannot accept your value, it doesn't help you or as Paul says, they're of no value against fleshly indulgence. See, God wants you to take care of yourself, and you have to recognize your value in order to do that. You are of immeasurable worth because he redeemed you with the blood of Christ. More precious than gold or silver. That's who Jesus is, right? And he used Jesus to redeem you. Second point. I think I can go through this fairly quickly. Knowing that we are of great value, therefore, we should live accordingly. We should live our lives with the knowledge, or our lives should play out that knowledge that we are of great value. In verse 17, it says, conduct yourselves in fear, or 1 Peter 17, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth. In verse 22 and 23, it later says, since you have in obedience to the truth, purify your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart, for you have been born again, not of seed, which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring word of God. There's a very famous movie, Saving Private Ryan. Anyone, you guys have seen that? Yeah? Okay, I'm not going to spoil the ending for anyone if I talk about the ending then. So, we all know the premise of the movie, and at the very end, Captain Miller, that's Tom Hanks' character. He's, spoiler alert, okay? Well, you can't do anything, you can't leave right now. So he's dying, but what ends up happening is they save this Private Ryan, that they're able to find him and save him and bring him back home. And as he sits there dying, you know, with, what's the guy's name? Matt Damon by him, and he utters this last phrase to Matt Damon. He goes, earn this, earn it. And he's actually referring to the journey that him and his men took in order to save Private Ryan, in order to bring him home. And now you think about it, I'm like, well, earn it. How can you earn it? He's already gotten it. He's already gotten his free pass back home. But what Captain Miller is saying to Private Ryan is like, make our sacrifice worth it. The way you live your life from now on, you get to go home. The way you live your life, make it worth that sacrifice. You know, live up to the value that we have placed on your life. You know, and in our lives, there's an element of needing to live up to our calling, right? Because we have been given such great value. You know, we have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, and we are invaluable. So live like it. Now, in verse 17, it says, live with fear. Conduct yourselves with fear. So live in the fear of the Lord. And this is a whole other topic that I thought about talking about, but it's a little too long for EMP. But live your life, no, not with flippancy, but with fear of the Lord. Live up to your calling. And saying that we need to take care of ourselves and saying that we need to, you know, not treat ourselves like garbage, doesn't mean you just lay back and relax and, you know, let life come to you, right? You need to recognize your value, or recognizing your value and accepting it, you can see just how powerful and effective you can be. You know, don't let this commandment of, you know, living up to your value, don't let it be this obligation or this burden that you have to bear. I'm like, oh man, I have to do this. But you get to do this because you are this powerful instrument of God. God has given you this incredible power. The power that resurrected Jesus from the dead is now in you as well. It's at work within you. You know, I was talking about my knives earlier. And do you know what is one of the greatest dangers in the kitchen? It has something to do with knives. One of the greatest dangers in the kitchen is actually a dull knife. So, tip it for you. Go home, sharpen your knives, save your fingers. It actually makes your cooking prep a lot easier. Okay, dull knives make it very difficult to slice quickly. Right? You have to use more strength. They slip, you know, when you slice tomatoes or when you slice onions. You know. Sharp knives make it a lot easier. And, you know, using that analogy, you know, we need to maintain ourselves in order to be effective in our ministries. Right? I spend a lot of time caring for my knives. You know, I'm currently looking into a whetstone that I can use my knife on to polish and to sharpen my knife, to keep it in its function. You know, I place such great value on my knives. I care for them, but I also need to sharpen them. That's part of my care for my knives, to make sure that it's used well, to maintain well. And similarly, we need to be disciplined. Right? We need to maintain ourselves. We need to live, like, recognize that we have this value and do things that, you know, keep ourselves at this high level that God has lifted us to. Spiritual discipline, and it is, I'm not just talking about physical discipline, like working out, but spiritual discipline. Discipline yourself spiritually. You know, daily quiet time, spending time in the Word. Listening to different kinds of sermons, different styles of sermons. You know, not just nice 3-point sermons where they tell you, all right, this is what you need to know from the passage. But go through sermons that are expository, that go through, you know, 10 pieces of scripture in different places within the Bible and work these scriptures out for yourself. Understand what it says for yourself. You know, it's great that we do have 3-point sermons that do explain a lot of stuff for us. But part of the, you know, fun, sometimes can be very frustrating thing about going through scripture is, you know, letting God speak to you and struggling through these things and using that to discipline yourself, because through this, you're learning for yourself instead of learning from other people. This is what other people are telling you. You learn for yourself. And this is something that I've been journeying through myself recently, that at times I'm like, I have no idea what they're saying. I'm like, all right, let's see what Eugene Peterson says in the Message. I'm like, oh, that's what he means. But even in that, I try to meditate and to, you know, struggle through and understand that at times it is a struggle. You know, sharpening knives is not just like, all right, let me do it once, done. It takes a long time to grind that blade angle down to its sharpness again. Especially if, you know, you're rusty, it takes time to, like, rub off all the rust. It's not just, let me get some rust remover. Like, you have to polish it off the knife. If you don't discipline yourself, you won't be sharp at the moment where you need to be. Right? You have many opportunities throughout the day to minister. But if we're not sharp, we don't get to recognize where these opportunities are. We don't see because we're just not used to seeing them. And if you do see it, you know, we might not have the right words to say because, you know, someone presents you with scripture and we're like, oh, their take is very interesting. You know, I don't believe that, but I can't really explain why I don't believe that. I don't have any passages to refute. You know, being in community is a great way to do this. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. know, I thought about knives and this came up automatically. But that's so true, right? We need to sharpen one another. We need to be in community. And this is, you know, it's great that you guys are here. And this is my, I guess, my exhortation to you today is, you know, in your house churches, with your friends, you know, sharpen one another, challenge one another. Any questions that you have that you're not sure about, just ask, even if it's small, even if you think it's stupid. Like, I have very stupid questions sometimes, and I ask them to Cora, right? Or ask them to some of the staff, and I'm like, I can't believe I'm asking this question, but, and we have great times of discussion in the office. And just yesterday, we were just talking about heaven and hell. And there's this huge, long discussion that we had for like an over an hour, and we went into the scripture, and we're like, oh, and came up with a clearer understanding of what heaven and hell, or what, you know, people in the Old Testament thought. But that's an afterthought. So discipline yourselves, you know. Live according to the value that God has placed on you. Know that you are invaluable. Like, God loves you, and he used Jesus to rescue you. And so live according to that. It's not a burden. It's like, yeah, we get to do this. We get to see God in motion. And so as Cindy comes up for worship, to lead us in worship, yeah, I think let's reflect on how we're disciplining ourselves today. You know, are you saying that I'll start this tomorrow? Now, don't wait until tomorrow to start what can be started today. If you're saying, I'm going to do this tomorrow, or I want to go through, you know, the New Testament and really study it, you know, then start. Just do it. Read one chapter a day. You know, it can be daunting at times. It can be difficult because it's difficult to understand. You know, trust me, I'm going through Revelation right now. I'm like, I have no idea what they're talking about. But as you go through it, pray. You know, see what other people are saying. You know, reflect, meditate. So as we worship today, just let Holy Spirit speak to you. Father, we thank you, God, and I pray, Lord, that you help us all see that we've been bought with a price, God. We've been bought with the precious blood of Christ. And that shows, one, how amazing you are, but two, that you attach so much value to us, God. We who are so unworthy, but you have restored us, that you have given us such great value, that you love us so. So, Father, I pray, God, that we can live our lives with that knowledge, God, not weighing us down, but lifting us up, encouraging us. Encouraging us to live to that higher plane that you have lifted us to, God. That you use us to show others, God, just how much value that they have, how much you value them, how much you love them, God. So we thank you, Father. Let's turn to our community prayer focus. Let's pray for those who have cancer and are undergoing chemo and radiation therapy. Let's pray for those who are sick and have yet to receive the word of Christ into their lives. Let's pray for those in our community who are suffering from various infirmities. Let's pray for those in our community looking for jobs. Pray for God to open opportunities and the right doors for them. Turning to our community prayer, our mission prayer focus, let's pray for Singapore, SPSG. Let's pray for SPIN, led by P. Salamat, and as well as our church out in SP, or New York, SP New York. pray for Education Ministries, Noah's Ark, SP Youth, and SPU. Let's pray that all the kids, youth, college students really encounter Christ through these ministries. Pray for IP, Well, and River. I just pray that as they intercede, as they pray for people that come up needing healing, that God really moves and God speaks through these ministries. Let's lift up outreaches for tonight, SP Lights and Homie Outreach. Lift Up Alpha happening starts this Saturday. We'll go on for the next 2 months. Let's pray for protection over Alpha, availability of guests, and as well as just Holy Spirit to move powerfully through all the sessions that they will be having. Pray for house churches tonight, East Bay, Olympic, Robin Hood. Pray for a good time of discussion and just lifting up one another. God, we thank you once again, God. We can never thank you enough for what you've done for us, God, and we the love and the care that you have shown us, and how you've lavishly poured out your grace upon us, God, your mercy, Lord. And we thank you, we praise you, Lord. We acknowledge who you are, God. And Father, we pray, Lord, that our lives will be lived in a meaningful way, Lord. Again, not as obligation, Lord, not as a burden, but because you have allowed us to. You have given us this freedom, Lord. And I pray, God, that the enemy will not come and distort that truth, distort that message, Lord, but that we will be mindful, God, that we will always remind ourselves, Lord, look to you of that for the truth, God, that we will always come to you to ask who you say we are, Lord, and live according to that, Father. So I thank you, God. I pray for my brothers and sisters here, Lord, that as they go out into the workplaces, into the lives, Lord, that they show people that they are your children, that they have been redeemed, that Lord, and that there is great hope, Lord, hope that is beyond this world, Father. So we thank you, God. We pray these things in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time.